Kevin Garnett slams the owner of the Timberwolves.
And can the NBA get back and crown a champion by Labor Day weekend?
But if they can't, we're going to come up with some other ways for them to determine an NBA champion. It is the Wednesday edition of Locked On NBA. Let's do this.
You are Locked On the NBA, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Locked On NBA, the daily podcast covering everything you want to know about the association and also the only podcast that most definitely eats hummus. On Wednesdays, I'm your co-host Jake Madison at Nola Jake on Twitter and the host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast.
Is there such thing as a hummus overdose? I feel like I'd be subject to something like that. I'm John Corrales. Cover the team for MassLive.com, the Celtics, and I'm the host of the Locked On Celtics podcast. You can find me on Twitter at RedsArmy_John.
Okay, so before we get into anything else here, Jeff Van Gundy on ESPN today said he's never tried hummus and basically says he has no intention of ever trying hummus.
What
and
the hell?
Said, to be fair, he goes, I don't need to be shamed about my lack of hummus, which is true. We're not here to make fun of you. You do you, Jeff Van Gundy. Okay, there you go. I really like hummus. I'm actually stocked up on a bunch of it right now.
I mean, it's great. I mean, I'm Greek, so I mean, it's kind of from that part of the world. But, like, it's delicious. The recommended serving size is one carton or whatever it is, however you buy it. Like, the whole thing. I have never been able to open up a thing of hummus and just eat a small amount. I just keep on going until it's gone.
It's delicious. There's different flavors. Like Jeff Van Gundy, look at yourself in a mirror.
Come on.
And you're still a good dude. You know, I'm sure some team would hire you, but you know this is going to come up in the interview process.
Sure. Are you an Always Sunny fan? Do you watch Always Sunny?
I am, but I'm a couple seasons behind on it, to be fair. But like the first, like, what, 6, 7, 8?
Yeah, this reminds me of an earlier episode where Charlie's like, I've never had a pear, and I've never had a grape. Like, this is like...
That's the road trip episode,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes, when they're going to the Grand Canyon. And it's like, they're just all incredulous. They're like, you've never eaten a pear? Like, I'm like that with this. Like, you've never eaten hummus? Like, that's a staple. That's like saying you've never drank water. Like, come on.
Yeah, that would be a little weirder, I think. I'm trying to think of, like, what have I never tried that would surprise people? And, I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
No, not me.
My girlfriend's here in the room pointing, like, she's saying tongue, and I've eaten tongue. So, like, I've tried that. But, like, that's also something that wouldn't, like, surprise people if you didn't eat tongue. I think hummus is a little bit different. Right,
right. Like, I've never eaten tongue, I don't think. But it's not like hummus is very readily available, and like you have to like search out for tongue. Like hummus is just a standard
different thing.
Like, yeah, you have to really get like, yeah, there's plenty of exotic food that I haven't eaten, but this stuff is like ubiquitous. It's an entire thing in the supermarket. It's like, I don't know.
Thank you, Jeff Van Gundy, for filling up some time on the Locked On NBA podcast today.
Locked On Hummus.
Yeah, Locked On Hummus, Locked On Food when there's no sports going on. So we appreciate the assist there. But there is some news out there, and we're going to cover it all today. And the big one is a little bit surprising me, maybe not too surprising, and that's Kevin Garnett kind of going a little bit unfiltered with Shams of The Athletic and Stadium. Basically calling, not basically, straight up said, the owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves, Glenn Taylor, is a snake and doesn't even want his number retired by them. You know Garnett better than I do here. Is this in any way surprising to you?
No, not at all. Garnett is a fiercely loyal person. To a fault, sometimes, I would say. I think he hung around, and he said that he hung around Minnesota for a little too long, but he is a very loyal guy. And when Flip Saunders and Kendrick Perkins chimed in on Twitter to kind of give some background.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. Perk basically explained that part of the reason why he went to Minnesota was to get, like, to be part of the, once he retired, to kind of like
the ownership group, right?
Buy it, yeah, get a stake and be a part of the decision makers. Basically, it was going to be a great story of KG going home. Not, I mean, that's not where he's from, but obviously he spent
figuratively home.
Right,
I get it.
14 seasons. He loves Minnesota. He won a championship in Boston, and one of the first things he said is, "This is for soda." So, like, that's how much he has an affinity for Minnesota. And he was going to go back there and be part of that franchise. And I don't know why Glenn Taylor reneged, but he apparently did. And once he went back on what was supposed to be the agreed upon arrangement, KG was like, "That's it, I'm done." He called him a snake.
And that's the line. And it doesn't get much more pointed than that. And Kevin Garnett's not necessarily the type of guy to really hold back how he's feeling if you were to ask him on this. So this doesn't surprise me whatsoever that if he feels he was wronged and Glenn Taylor went back on this, and what Taylor Corp is the name of the company too, went back on everything, mm-hmm. that, like, yeah, he's going to let you know that he does not like what you did.
Yeah. And so that robs... Like, KG doesn't really care probably about the number retirement thing. It's not like people are running around in his number. I don't think anybody's had the number 21 since.
No, and no one would. You'd be kind of dumb to try and take that.
Right.
I'm sure they won't even let you take that.
Right. So no player will come in and be like, "Yeah, I'm going to take 21. So that's not really the issue. He just made it to the Hall of Fame. He was elected to the Hall of Fame over the weekend. He's getting his number retired next season, whenever that is, in Boston. So he's getting these honors, these accolades. But it robs the people of Minnesota this opportunity to thank him. It robs Minnesota Timberwolves fans of this opportunity to welcome Kevin Garnett back. I mean, he's the undisputed best player in their team's history. And, you know, Karl Anthony Towns can maybe make a play for it by the time it's all said and done. But even that's going to be a tall order. Kevin Garnett, and maybe younger people don't realize, or maybe people have forgotten, Kevin Garnett was
really
just
good.
Phenomenal.
He was an MVP, I mean, just, there. He led the league in rebounding 4 years.
Yeah.
And, like, he's unquestionably the best player they've ever had.
Right.
And it's going to take Towns a while to even come close to that level, I think. And I don't know, you kind of look at the story and it's kind of sad. Like, this sucks. The right thing would be to have his number retired. I get why he doesn't care. And he said, don't do this because he feels that he was disrespected and that a move like this isn't about him. And it's more about the fans coming from Glenn Taylor, the owner. And, you know, I think the fans who would love to have this moment, love to see this. And this would probably mean a lot to them, maybe get screwed the most out of all of this sort of thing based on just this situation. So it's just, I don't know, it's kind of sad. Like, this sucks.
It is. It does. That's exactly it. It's sad and it sucks. And there's certainly, and I don't know the inner workings, so I can't assign a percentage of blame one or the other.
Yeah.
You know, obviously KG is going to sit there and say it's not his fault. I'm willing to bet that there might be some element that he could have done better, because that's just how these things go. But Glenn Taylor, whether he backed out, reneged, or maybe there was a misunderstanding, whatever the situation is, it's in the team's best interest to find a way to make amends. Quietly, behind the scenes, find a way to get Garnett back on the same page and figure that out. And look, Garnett's words were very, very harsh, saying the whatever deal he had basically died with Flip Saunders. I mean, KG went back to Minnesota just because of Flip. And so Flip's passing is something that exacerbates this issue. Glenn Taylor really needs to find a way to get KG back in the fold, have him come back and be kind of like part of this franchise again, get the excitement back up, get people back excited about a team that frankly just should be better.
You're nailing this part of it. Now, they've dealt with some injuries on why they are at the time right now, 19-45. But this is a team that had, what, a 13-game losing streak this season? They're 29th out of 30th in attendance. what good does a bad franchise have in, you know, what's the point of alienating a guy who's a champion of your franchise, like a shining light of your franchise, and it, when you're not good? This is like what the Knicks did earlier in the year with Spike Lee. Like, maybe don't piss off that dude and, you know, attack that guy.
Right.
And don't do wrong by Kevin Garnett when you don't exactly, and I'm sorry, Minnesota Timberwolves fans, have a ton of good things going for you right now. You know, this is a team that I see in a very desperate spot of kind of throwing a lot of mud at the wall to see what sticks in order to keep Towns right now.
Yeah.
That's where you're at.
Yeah, you just got D'Angelo Russell because he's Carl Anthony Towns' best bud.
And that's never worked.
Right, right.
You bring in the dude's friends has never worked. And that's where you're at in this. That's like the stage of like whatever the steps are to a superstar leaving. When you start bringing in their best friends is when it's pretty close to happening, if you were to make a scale of this. Maybe don't upset Kevin Garnett, and if your ownership, figure out a way to do this right and bring him back into the fold.
Yeah, I would love to see it. And look, I, as a guy who's covered the Celtics and watched Garnett, like, I love the fact that he has this affinity for the Celtics. I think there's also a bit of, like, I'm going to show that I love Boston so much just so you can. It's like kind of showing up your ex.
That's a good motivate. That's like a very strong motivating factor. The Spike game can be pretty strong.
Yeah. So he's like in Boston. He keeps talking about how much he loves Boston. Like in that same Shams interview, he was saying, like, you know, it was great to see what a real winning franchise, how they operate, like digs at the X at Minnesota. Like he's a Minnesota guy, and Boston will celebrate him. And he's definitely part of Boston Celtics history. The retired number, I think, is deserved, but he is a Timberwolf first, and Minnesota would benefit greatly if they could figure out how to get him back into that franchise somehow and make that work.
That was summed up really well. So we'll leave it there, and we'll come back talking about when the NBA wants to have certain things finalized. But before we do that, today's show brought to you by MyBookie. Sports have come to a screeching halt with basketball benched and pitchers off the mound, but our friends at MyBookie aren't here to let it get you down. Stay sane and stay entertained with access to your favorite games like blackjack, roulette, slots, war, and more. It doesn't matter whether you're out on the front lines or quarantined at home. The fun doesn't have to come to an end with MyBookie. If video poker is not your thing, but you still need some sort of fix, they've got you covered with a host of live casino dealers online. That's right. They have professional dealers at their tables live on site 24/7. Your favorite squad sidelined because of the pandemic? Don't even sweat it, because MyBookie has partnered with some of the leading esports brands to bring you wagers on virtual action straight from the court in NBA 2K20. Plus, you can always do your part to make your bankroll great again by taking advantage of shifting odds on political bets. You can trust the industry leaders in times like these. They're reliable, upfront, and best of all, they pay fast when you win. Visit mybookie.ag and use promo code LOCKEDONNBA. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA for a 150% bonus on your first casino deposit. It's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to receive a 150% cash bonus on your first deposit, and you can claim those extra funds all the way up to $750. That is free money right there. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA. You spin, you win, you get paid. All right, so Woj on Get Up today on ESPN kind of set a target date that the NBA has, which is Labor Day, to determine an NBA champion, whatever form it takes to get there. That's when they want to have things wrapped up. That is Monday, September 7th of this year, so a bit of a ways away, 5 months to be exact here. Is that feasible to have this all said and done by then, do you think?
I think they can do it. I think it takes some maneuvering, but I think they can do it. I think they would have to go to their single centralized location plan. And I think without travel, you can really have an every other day type of schedule without the grind, the typical grind of the every other day that you would normally have. It'd be, you know, you'd be eliminating all of the home stuff. You'd be eliminating a lot of different things. But if you can get everybody in one place, you can get, I think, you don't play the remaining 18 games. I think you play a few just to get guys back into shape. And then you can spend a couple of months going through a modified playoff scenario. I think there's an opportunity to work back in a training camp a mini regular season and some kind of playoffs that can wrap up right about that time.
Yeah, I look, you could end the season today if you wanted to and pick a winner, and we're going to do just that coming up, by the way. But the NBA obviously wants to have as much kind of TV time on it as possible because they need to recoup as much money as they might be losing during this time. So giving them 5 months to play more basketball, I think, is a good thing, and that can at least limit some of the damage, done to the BRI, the basketball-related income, and therefore the impact on the salary cap next year. Or I'm sure they're going to try and keep the salary cap as close as possible, but then it just means you're not going negative on revenue, things like that. So overall, this seems realistic. After thinking about it a little bit more, and you and I have talked about the Vegas plan, I'm less of a believer in that being really, really feasible, though I know the NBA is going to do everything they can to really make that work. But there's ways to do this. If you need to set a deadline of it's got to be done by this date, you will be fine, and you will find ways to make it work, and maybe just pick the least worst option out of all of those, because they have to start thinking about the impact on next season, and whether that's you start the season later in December or you start it at the regular time or you cut games, what have you. They need to start thinking about that to minimize the impact on the 2020-2021 season, I think.
Yeah, like next season and the season after that, I think there's going to be a ripple effect. I think that's unavoidable. Mm-hmm. There is guaranteed to be some ripple effect. Either they cancel the season now, and that costs them all of the playoff revenue, and they figure out a way to maybe minimize that impact and do kind of like a smoothing of the impact. But that ripple effect is the teams that thought they had money don't have as much as they thought anymore. And that changes who might change teams. That changes the pursuit of Giannis Antetokounmpo and other megastars in a couple of years. Maybe it makes it more likely that they'll stay put, because staying put and getting that fifth year is just so much more money and security for them that they stay. And then that changes like the Miami plan. Miami did everything that they could to make sure they had open cap space. And if all of a sudden that's not what they thought it was, look at all of the things that Miami did to kind of get to that point. Now what? So it has a ripple effect that way. Or they come back, they play, they crown a champion in September, and then you have to have, if you crown a champion in September, what is that, 3rd, 4th? I'm looking at the calendar. Whatever it is.
7th.
7th. So you crown a champion that day. A couple of weeks later, you have a draft. Then a week later, you still have to allow for the accounting. And so the accountants have to do their work. You got to give them a week or so to do that and tell you what the salary cap really is going to be the next year. And then from there, you got to allow for player movement, free agency, blah, 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 blah. Give these guys a minimum, like a small off season. And then you got to start a new training camp where guys with their new teams can start ramping up. There's a lot of stuff. You're talking about December.
It's a lot of stuff.
You're not starting the next season until December, at the earliest December. I mean, you're looking at that Christmas day as a potential opening day target. Then that raises the questions on the other end. Do they condense the season? Do they adjust their schedule and do something where the finals are in July of next year? And then slowly kind of get back on track. Like the ripple effects are going to be huge.
Exactly. And this is a lot of things they need to try and figure out. And again, this is also maybe a time for some innovation for them to really kind of analyze their schedule and maybe make some moves and changes that they want to make. And this is just a reason to get it done a little bit quicker. So yeah, they can wrap this up, and they definitely need to wrap this up, because as you said, there is a whole lot of stuff coming after the fact, and they need to start planning for the future, which maybe is more important than the present right now, given that, you know, this year is kind of a wash and you're just trying to minimize damage and you don't want it to impact years and years into the future. And they've even said that the NBA is talking to agents about the 2021 offseason in salary cap, that there might be impacts on that. And that's really, as you said, because of the approach in going after guys like Giannis and others and some of the long-term planning, you really cannot have that screwed up by this sort of situation.
Yeah, the amount of things that you have to consider, it's very vast. They've gone now. The commissioner was on Monday with Ernie Johnson talking about, like, I can't even come up with the beginnings of a plan for another month. We just don't know what's happening. Like,
so part of it is it's just too early, I think.
Right. Well, there's so many public health things. There's so many logistical things that have to happen first. And that's obvious. Like, we talk about these things. There's obvious public health stuff that happens first. But one thing you hear on one day, that the rapid test could be a way to kind of speed things up. Like, hey, if they have these rapid tests and they can mass produce them, then maybe we could figure something out and we can actually get back to some normalcy. And then you hear, well, those rapid tests are only 87% effective. So it's still, you still run the risk of spreading things. So there are a lot of things that they need to consider before even formulating their plan. It's just, I will add this, and I think I've said this before. We're so doom and gloom in all of this. I guarantee you somehow there's going to be an innovation that comes out of this.
Yes.
There's either the season, this is the opportunity to shorten the season, and they just say, you know what, 72 games is enough, or whatever it is. They're going to come up with something out of necessity, and that thing, whatever it is going to be something that we say, wow, like that was a bad time, but look at this cool thing that came out of it. I don't know what that's going to be, but there always is something, like, out of this bad thing that's happening. The necessity drives the invention, and that's going to give us something, whatever it is, that's going to be, we're going to enjoy for years to come.
Yeah, and I think that's a good silver lining that we'll be kind of hoping for and expecting to come out of this awful situation that everyone's in and that the league is in. But so the league wants to determine their champion by September 7th. We're going to do it a little bit sooner than that for them and kind of talk about some different ways and who would win the NBA in that situation coming up here in the next segment. But don't forget, subscribe to Locked On NBA wherever you get your podcast from. Still here Monday through Friday for you all, coming at you with everything going on around the league, having a little bit of fun with it as well, breaking up your day between Zoom meetings and phone calls and being stuck at home. So subscribe wherever you get your podcast from to Locked On NBA. Okay, so we just talked about the NBA setting a deadline to have their champion. Let's just make it easier on him, John. We'll text this over to Adam Silver after and just, you know, tell him, here's what we got for you. Feel free to use one of these. And again, put the check in the mail to us, as we often do.
Fixing things.
Yeah, look, it's what we do here on the podcast on Wednesdays. We get things done. So if we're going to come up with different ways to kind of do the championship and talk about it and just make, and we'll just tell them who the winner is. We don't actually need to play games, right?
No.
That's kind of the key here. Let's just minimize some of the impact.
We could run the simulations on 2K. Like, just, we'll just do it that way.
I think Josh Lloyd of Locked On Fantasy has a very advanced computer model spreadsheet thing, and we'll just have him plug it into all of that.
Sure.
And crunch the numbers.
Ah, man, I like it.
So what if we go to a March Madness style of bracket where we put all 30 teams in there? I think you'd need to do some buys to make the numbers work, and we seed them based on the current standings. So if we looked at it that way, how are you feeling this could shake out?
So the thing about a March Madness is, the instant, that one and done. I think that takes away from these very veteran heavy teams. Like, I think that eliminates the Lakers, because they need to, like, wear you down. They need LeBron to kind of figure things out and go, like, oh, okay, this is how you're doing this. Okay, I'm gonna break you down. They need him to figure these things out over the course of a series. Looking at all of these teams, I'm torn between two. It's the Toronto Raptors and the Boston Celtics, who I think can win a March Madness-style tournament. I say the Celtics because Brad Stevens took a Butler team to the Final Four that shouldn't have been there. Brad knows how to win in a March Madness situation. So, and they have, you know, his former player, Gordon Hayward's on there. Kemba Walker's made a deep March Madness run.
Yep.
These guys know what it takes. So Boston is in there, and I like the Raptors because I like Nick Nurse is willing to try anything possible to win. And that team is more college-y to me than most teams. I like that they execute the plan. I like that they follow what the coach does. And I think they're most likely to go on a big kind of streak. So, I might lean Raptors on that.
So they're one of like the two teams I have kind of for this. Toronto, you know, they're going to go in with momentum. They had won four straight. They were playing good basketball. They've got one of the better coaches in the league. And as you said, they're willing to do a lot of different things, which in the moment can kind of save you or throw off your opponent for a short period of time. And, you know, it's not like something that they'll then be able to game plan you out of for the next game because you're just moving on to a different team. So their unpredictability, I think, like that is a very big thing. What would you think about Houston, though?
I knew you were going to pick Houston. That's a good call.
They are built for this sort of thing. I don't really trust them deep into the playoffs in a 7-game series because I feel like what they're doing, you can really build out and build around and game plan for, but in a 1-game thing, like just have Harden and Westbrook go and do their thing, and that's it.
The whole point of their small ball is like the biggest knock was in a playoff situation, when you see it, you'll get to break it down. You can game plan for it and easily beat them. And you can still game plan for it, but if you're the Clippers and you have to face Portland in 1 game, then all of a sudden you turn around, you got to face the Rockets. That preparation, there's a lot of muscle memory that's involved in a 7-game series. You see things over and over again, and you can break that down. I like the Houston call. I think the finals would be Houston versus either Boston or Toronto, and I like Houston's chances. That's a great call by you.
Yeah, they're a team that would be like, oh, all of a sudden, like, that's a team I'm big on. Yeah. Let me throw this idea out at you. What about Golden State if they were healthy?
Well, now that changes a lot, right? If you can bring back, like, Steph is actually back, and if you have Clay back, and if Draymond's healthy, like, then
all of a sudden, the 30 seed comes storming in here in a way we weren't expecting whatsoever. I don't think it's we don't need to spend a ton of time on that, but it's intriguing to kind of think about. But
no,
like,
for sure, they'd be very, very dangerous if Clay was back and everybody was healthy.
Like, you'd be so annoyed getting them in like the second round of this hypothetical tournament, I think, here. So what if we change it? And then so I'll take Houston in that one. I think you said you're leaning towards the Raptors there. So that's an interesting way, I think, mix up, because that wouldn't be what we were necessarily predicting for a regular season sort of thing. What if we shorten the playoff rounds to best of three?
So best of three. I like
it's similar ish to the March Madness style.
Because you got to win two. I think. Yep. But I think having seen this knocks the Rockets down a bit.
Yeah,
because you've seen them once, and now you can lose the first game, but still figure things out. I see this as an opportunity for maybe, is there a team out there that if they're fully engaged and if the best of three series eliminates any sort of laziness or anything like that? So I'm going to go with Denver in this situation.
Interesting,
because Jokic will. He has to be on all the time. I think there's in a March Madness situation, there's enough variance where they would get knocked out. But to give them a series where he has to step up and he doesn't have the luxury of being lazy or the luxury of arguing a call and getting a, you know, getting in his own head or getting kicked out or technical fouls. I think Jokic would be the most engaged in the best of three series. And I think that would maximize the Nuggets. And I think when the Nuggets are maximized, that makes them extraordinarily dangerous. So I'm going to go with the Nuggets.
I like that one, actually. I see, I'd go with the Lakers and maybe the Celtics in this one. The Lakers, where it's, you know, not full-on load management with them and everything, but you can still afford to kind of take a game off if you needed to. And I think I trust LeBron, you know, in a game three situation a whole lot. So it gives them like just enough wiggle room, I think, in a best of three where it's like, okay, they're kind of, you know, saving it for the closeout game if they need to. And kind of goes back to some of the things you said about Boston in the first part of this, which is like, yeah, they're well coached. They've got guys who do this. You mentioned Kemba, who won an NCAA title. So about as deep of a run as you can kind of get. And it allows them to kind of really play to their strengths without maybe some of the weaknesses really coming through over a long series.
Yeah. The Lakers, I think best of three is too much of a sprint for LeBron. And I think, like, as we go on to a best of five, that changes the story a little bit. Best of three, when you have to win twice, I think LeBron, in this situation, having to ramp back up, having to kind of be fully on all the time and play 40 plus minutes the way you'd have to, I think there's a risk of him burning out a little quickly here, because he was building up to something, and all of this going away and him sitting at home. I mean, I'm sure he's working out. I'm sure he's got a great home and he's got all the things that he needs, but it's still not the same. I would fear LeBron kind of getting hurt, tweaking something in this situation. So that's why I'm going to eliminate him. That's why I'm going to eliminate the Clippers a little bit too. Same thing with Kawhi. So that's kind of why the sprint aspect of it makes it a little too much, I think, for those guys to handle. On the East side, though, I'm going to give Philly. I would say this would be Denver-Philly, because Philly's problems have been that they haven't gelled. They've been kind of at each other's throats. I think if you give them something to focus on just constantly, same idea, this game plan, now this game plan, now this game plan, they can execute quick, fast, like through everything, and forget about having to, you know, I actually don't like Joel Embiid. Oh, actually, I don't like Ben Simmons. The fit things kind of go away under that kind of pressure. So I think Philly in the East would be very strong in this.
Yeah, that's Philly Denver finals would be pretty fun.
It'd be fun.
And yeah,
be
not
fun.
What we were expecting. So let's stretch it out a little bit more, probably to the final thing here, to best of five. Anyone you feel pretty confident about?
Yeah, I think best of five gets us into best of seven type territory.
It's very similar, I think.
Yeah,
there.
I think this is where Milwaukee. You know, the game plans for Milwaukee, L.A., the Clippers, like our favorites, our regular favorites, I think become the favorites in a best of five, because you can – the Bucks are susceptible to like a bad shooting night, or they're susceptible to, hey, our defensive game plan is giving up a ton of threes. And in a one-and-done situation, if they play a team that – like they could play the Charlotte Hornets, and they've got three guys on that team that can get hot from three and
like
be an upset.
Like the Miami Heat, who's beaten them for those reasons,
right,
in like
exactly.
a single-game situation.
Exactly. Good call. But as we get into five games, you can stretch – they can absorb one of those things and still beat you three times. So I think Milwaukee, we get into the Milwaukee, and I still would favor the Clippers slightly over the Lakers, assuming everybody's healthy. So I'm going to go Milwaukee in that situation, Milwaukee over the Clippers.
Yeah, I think that's probably what I would end up landing on, just kind of based off everything we've seen. And it gets so close to best of, like, it's very similar to best of seven. So there are some different ways you could settle it and who we think would win in different scenarios. And those, the lengths of the playoff series really does have big implications on how those series might go. I want to throw out a few ideas to you, though, quickly before we wrap up here. Any situation, any sort of series setup, style setup where maybe Dallas can kind of like sneak into the NBA finals with Luka at the helm and Porzingis now playing pretty good basketball?
I mean, I think they would be. They would be formidable in the best of three situation. I mean, I think there's too much variance in their fourth quarter execution for them to for me to trust them in a one and done situation. And I think you can game plan for them in a five game series and obviously a seven game series. I think you can figure them out enough to win a series. They would be in that best of three where you can take a punch, but Luka can get like a couple of big games and then you overreact and Porzingis knocks you out. Like I think that would be the best scenario for them. We haven't mentioned the Jazz at all in this.
So again, I think you and I feel pretty similarly about that. With just Rudy Gobert in the playoffs, he's not someone you want to rely on, and that's why they've just never come up for me. I look at Oklahoma City that could be good in a best of three with that fourth quarter if they can just keep things close. It, you know, you don't want to trust that necessarily over a seven game series, but over three games, you might feel much better about it. I was trying to figure out the Miami Heat too, and I'm like, man, I'm not sure where to really put them.
Let me throw a curveball at you. Which one of these non-playoff teams, which non-playoff team would be most likely to benefit from a weird kind of not best of seven series? Whatever it is that the NBA puts forth, if they allow for a couple of these non-playoff teams to try to do like a play-in tournament or something like that, if they allow maybe Washington and Charlotte, who would be the 9th and 10th seeds in the East, Portland, New Orleans, who would be the 9th and 10th in the West, which of these teams do you think can suddenly be like, we're going to take advantage of this weird scenario and make a run that no one expected?
I mean, I have two. It'd be Portland and New Orleans. I don't trust Memphis too much just yet with some of the young guys, though they'd be healthy in this situation, which definitely benefits them. Portland, though, with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum after the run they went on last year, if you give them a weird format where those two guys just need to be the ones to do work and they get Nurkic back, could be a little bit scary. New Orleans with Zion, Brandon Ingram, you know, Drew Holiday, that's, you know, Lonzo Ball, you could throw in there too. JJ Redick with the shooting, like, yeah, you probably they would shine in the March Madness style where they just need to play good basketball at the right time. And all of a sudden they look much better than their record is because they didn't have Zion for 40 plus games, you know? So I think it's those two teams would probably benefit the most from this, but you could make the claim for probably any of the teams fighting for that eighth spot in the West.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I would say New Orleans is probably the right answer there.
Yo, go Pels. Yeah, it benefits any kind of the fringe teams more than any of the favorites that we would be talking about. So it'd be fun to kind of have that kind of unpredictability with it and have this just be super weird, because I think that would be kind of cool to see. And also would benefit the team I'd cover, which would make me really happy, and the city of New Orleans, which, yay, go us. And that's, I don't know, as good of a spot to end it here for today's edition of Locked On NBA. Thank you all for listening. On Wednesdays, I'm your co-host Jake Madison at Nola Jake on Twitter and the host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast.
And I'm John Corrales at RedsArmy_John on Twitter and the host of the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Tell your smart device to play podcast Rejecting the Screen. Noah Kozlov and Adam Stanko give you some great behind-the-scenes stories into the league from ex-players, coaches, all of that. Make sure you give it a listen. And as always, thank you all for listening. We'll be back with you all next week.